Taco Bell's two grilled steak soft tacos, fresco style. You pretty much cut the number of calories in your meal in half. And finally, what about the worst drive-thru cheeseburger? It's Hardee's Monster Thick Burger. Instead, go for the Hardee's low-carb thick burger. You save 1,000 calories. John Tesh with today's Intelligence for Your Life Minute.
Now I'm hungry. Thank you, Mr. Tesh. You can hear much more of John Tesh tonight at 6 o'clock following the Sweet Lou Turner quality radio effort. It will come your way at 2 o'clock right here on WRJN. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, Glenn Klein. He is Representative Corey Mason of the Fighting 66th Assembly District. I asked, I wrote it down, and I still got it wrong. And he's Representative David Craig, who's on our line this morning. Good morning, Representative Craig.
Morning.
How
morning,
are you?
Corey.
Morning. How you doing?
Good. You?
Good.
He's early. He's a week early, David, Corey. He's the second Monday.
It happens sometimes.
It does.
I literally forgot a guest on Friday. I just forgot to call him.
It happens.
Yeah. So you guys want to duke it out this morning?
I mean, I think
as good as I can over the radio.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you want to ask us some questions about what's going on tomorrow, you'll get a Democratic perspective and a Republican perspective. So
it's a beautiful. So that's what I should do, huh?
It's your show.
Ask some questions.
Sure.
First of all, I want to state this. It's a beautiful day for baseball.
Okay.
If you're inside at Miller Park.
Right.
Now, you guys are on the radio with me, but how much more would you rather be tailgating right now out there at Miller Park?
In this weather?
Yeah.
Opening day is always a great event, but I'll be honest, I'm not so sure that bringing the snow pants to a baseball game is what I had in mind for an opening day ideal tailgate.
It is Packer weather.
Yeah.
Without question. So, David, I just moved from Florida 6 months ago. And yesterday, it was 70 degrees in my house. And right now, it's freezing. And it's 22 with the wind chill. Welcome to Wisconsin.
Yeah. How about Saturday, where we went within 5 minutes from sideways blowing snow to beautiful sunny weather, literally in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It's crazy in Wisconsin in spring. Welcome back.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that. People ask me, like, what do you do with the weather? You know, you're 21 years in Tampa. Why would you go back to Wisconsin? And I always tell them, listen, with Wisconsin weather, if you don't like it, just wait 10 minutes.
That's right.
You're good to go. So speaking of the wind blowing, the political winds are blowing. See what I just did there?
It's nice.
Yeah.
Good segue.
In Wisconsin. And I was talking to Corey, David, before we went on the air. If anybody would have said, first of all, that we'd be looking at a possible Ted Cruz victory, or Donald Trump for that matter, in Wisconsin on April 5th, 6 months ago, and that Bernie Sanders might beat Hillary Clinton 6 months ago, and that the primary in Wisconsin would actually mean something. I mean, who would have ever thought that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that Wisconsin would mean something, I guess, isn't that surprising, given kind of the timeline. I mean, the chances are that it could mean something, more so on the Republican side probably than on the Democrat side, but here we are. And how many of us thought, you know, Scott Walker would be in this thing to this point, and that just didn't happen. Donald Trump has had the staying power that most of us did not expect him to have. And, I didn't think there would be basically a two-man race between him and Ted Cruz at this point. So it's a total surprise.
We are talking with State Representatives David Craig of Wisconsin's 83rd Assembly District and Representative Corey Mason of the 66th. Representative Mason, of course, is a Democrat. Representative Craig is a Republican. Now, weeks ago, before any of the polls came out, I'm great at predicting things. I stink at most things, but there's a few things that I'm okay at, and for some reason I'm good at predicting stuff. And I predicted weeks ago that Ted Cruz would win the Republican primary and that Bernie Sanders would take the Democrat primary, because I do know Wisconsin. I know Wisconsin voters. Wisconsin voters are significantly more sophisticated than in a lot of states. People follow this on both sides of the political aisle very closely. We've endured three elections for the gubernatorial office here in Wisconsin. The protests, all the stuff that happens. And obviously we have a very intense Democratic following and a very intense Republican following.
Right.
So I got Sanders and Cruz winning tonight. Who you got, Representative Mason?
I think it's going to be Hillary and Cruz. That's my prediction. I mean, the polls right now on the Democratic side are neck and neck. There's a Marquette and a CBS poll that have Bernie ahead, and there's the 538 analysis, Nate Silver at the New York Times, who seems to get it right more often than anybody, thinks that Hillary's going to eke it out. So I think it's going to be very close. And I certainly think on the Democratic side, every vote's going to count. But I think Hillary may pull it off tonight.
And who have you endorsed?
I've endorsed Hillary.
Okay, so I see where you're going with that. Have you made an endorsement, David?
I have, Ted Cruz.
Okay, so we got Cruz and Hillary. And why did you pick Cruz over Trump?
Cruz has a body of work that shows that he actually would be a conservative governing official. Donald Trump just doesn't have that. So there's a lot of question marks involving him. You know, no doubt that there is a very hostile environment right now for individuals who've been in politics for a while. I think on both the Republican and Democrat side, you know, the anti-establishment movement. You know, it's interesting though that Ted Cruz is the guy that some are trying to tarnish as an establishment figure when he's only been in the Senate about a half of a term, and that Donald Trump, who has, you know, contributed to the establishment on both sides of the aisle for decades, is somehow you know, the anti-establishment candidate. So it's a kind of a weird narrative that's developed. But I you know, like Corey said, I think in Wisconsin you have people that are very attuned to what's going on in politics, maybe more so than in other states. And I think that they know, whether that the Republican or Democrat side, they're looking for a record for someone that has run. And before they cast a ballot, they want to know whether or not that person will identify and vote or govern from their principles. And I think Ted Cruz is that guy and not Donald Trump.
If anybody would have told us that going into the Wisconsin primary, Jeb Bush, Scott Walker, Lindsey Graham, just to name three, would have endorsed Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable.
Particularly Lindsey Graham, who said nobody would convict him if nobody would be convicted if Ted Cruz were killed on the floor of the Senate. Yes.
Lindsey Graham, towards the end of his presidential run, said that what politicians on both sides of the aisle, in Washington at least, need to do is to get together and drink more, like Reagan and Tip O'Neill used to do. How much drinking goes on amongst the guys and gals in Madison?
Not enough, truthfully. I mean, my suspicion, though, is, I mean, I think there's some wisdom in that. I mean, we had an episode last year where we had to clear the building because there was some fire scare, or they had to bring in some. They thought there might have been a bomb threat. So we all had to leave in the middle of the budget debate.
At the Capitol?
Yeah, yeah. So we all cleared out and wound up being a couple hours that we were out there. And, you know, a few of us across the aisle wound up drinking a couple beers waiting for us to get called back in. And, you know, some people thought it was great that we were actually talking across the aisle. Other people thought it was terrible that, you know, here in Wisconsin, God forbid, you'd have a beer over lunch before you go on the floor. But I mean, here's my view of it. I think if you drink together more or socialize together more, it can certainly help with the civility. But my guess is even if David and I had a drink every night after work, he would still have his conservative principles and I would still have my progressive principles. And, you know, we'd still have our points of view. But I do think, so I don't think that drinking together more means that people would suddenly all agree on everything. We just might be more agreeable.
Right, it'd be more civil. And that, see, obviously, Reagan, the great conservative warrior, Tip O'Neill, one of the great liberals of all time, but they didn't hate each other.
Right.
They just disagreed. And David, what do you think the chances are that, at least in Wisconsin, that we could see the temperature dialed back a little bit, and that instead of accusing people of wrong motives, we would just say we just disagree politically? What if you know, Wisconsin is such a leader in so many ways politically in our country. Obviously, we've got the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, the chairman of the Republican National Committee, Reince Priebus. These are Wisconsin guys, and in so many other times we've led the country politically. What do you think that we could, the chances are that we could see the state leaders like you guys dial back a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's happening already. You know, the first session that I came in, which was in 2011, kind of at the height of everything, You know, we just didn't have many conversations with Democrats, very, very few, and, you know, and vice versa. And it's unfortunate. That's kind of what I parachuted into. But since then, I've developed a number of good relationships with Democrats on the other side, some of the most liberal Democrats that there are. You know, as Steve Doyle, who is a more moderate Democrat, who was the ranking member of the committee that I'm on, we worked very, very well for the last year and a half on that committee, a very cordial relationship. His predecessor, Gordon Hintz, who was much more liberal, who I also worked very well with. So I think there's something to be said for just doing what legislators should do, working in committees on bills in earnest to try and benefit the state of Wisconsin, small business, things like that. That's what will help, I think, facilitate it. So it's, you don't have to have a beer to have collegiality. And I think that we've shown that to a certain extent. But I think it's getting better as the sessions progress.
He is Representative David Craig on the telephone of Wisconsin's 83rd Assembly District. Representative Corey Mason of Wisconsin 66 is in studio. This is Glenn Klein on WRJN. So let's talk about what is an area that in the coming legislative session that you guys can work on and agree on.
Oh, I don't know specifically. I know. I mean, I just had two bills that I worked very hard on. In the last couple of weeks, signed into law by the governor. I worked with Alberta Darling from Milwaukee, a senator, to pass this organ transplant bill that allows people to take medical leave if they donate bone marrow or an organ so that they can recover without fear of losing their job. And that was a nice bipartisan effort. And then I also worked with Senator Markline and Representative Novak to establish a Frank Lloyd Wright trail from Racine up through Madison and into Spring Green. So you find areas where you can collaborate and where you can work together where you can. I don't know, well, I'm happy to try to, but I don't know that you can sort of pick something out of thin air. I think David's comment about, you know, you work your bills through committee and sometimes you're pleased to find that there is common ground on issues and you move them forward when you can.
Of course, the Republicans and David's Republican colleagues control both houses of the state capitol. They control, obviously, the gubernatorial position with Governor Walker. So, as a Democrat, what is one thing, just one thing that the Republicans either are proposing, or let's say something that they have already done? One thing, if you could just say, you know what, I'm going to veto this as a Democrat, what would be the one thing that the Republicans have done that that you would like to see go away?
I mean,
or changed?
Wow, just one. I mean,
yeah, just one to begin with.
Yeah. I mean, look, I mean, we have different political philosophies for a reason, but I certainly think the role that workers have had in terms of having a voice at the workplace through collective bargaining, be that in the public sector or the private sector, is something that's been scaled back tremendously. And I don't think to the benefit of workers. If there's one thing I could undo or restore, it would be giving people rights in the workplace that they once enjoyed in the state.
And Representative David Craig, why should that policy remain in place?
I mean, if we're talking Act 10 specifically, you know, no one said it better than Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the icon of the left, who never envisioned public sector workers having collective bargaining rights. You know, so this is an issue that used to have, you know, bipartisan support from the epitome of you know, liberal presidents. This is just something, for one thing, this has saved Wisconsinites, you know, over $5 billion over the course of the last 5 years. That is an astonishing amount of savings. And work conditions from public sector perspective have not diminished. Salaries are not precipitously declining. I mean, this is a situation where now school districts can hire the very best and brightest teachers. They are using savings from health insurance and other things to put more money back into the classroom. And let's not forget that, you know, the many school districts, Muskego Norway school districts, saved, I think, $1 million in the first year of Act 10 because they were no longer beholden to the collective bargaining agreement, which called for them to buy health insurance from Wisconsin Education Association Insurance Company. So this has just led to a huge amount of savings with actual positive impacts to education, better ACT scores in the state. I mean, it's been a winning policy for years now. So, no, that is not something that I'd ever want to peel back and go back to how it was in the past, it would cost the taxpayers billions of dollars that we've seen in savings.
And what would be the benefits if you were able to repeal that?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a big misnomer that collective bargaining rights means financial savings. I mean, I think if you look at the rollback in education funding, whether it's for higher education or K-12 education, there's been no state that's had more cuts to education than Wisconsin has as a percentage. So I think here's my view of it, and I'm not just talking about public sector, I'm talking about private sector too, and the efforts that have been made more recently to make us a state where right to work and other things have come into place that have not benefited folks, whether it's in the public sector or the private sector. I think workers do better and are treated better, and the services they provide, whether it's in the public sector through a building project or the private sector through services provided, the public gets a better product, and workers are treated better and get better results when workers have a voice, whether it's for their workplace safety or their working conditions or, you know, I mean, I didn't say it first, but I certainly believe this as somebody with the kids in public schools that, you know, my teachers' working environments are my children's learning environment, and I want teachers to have a voice in that and have an ability to have a conversation about what's best for our kids. So there's always been the arguments that if you look at them over time, fall flat, that taking away collective bargaining somehow means that people are going to get ahead, but that winds up not being true. We wind up paying prices for it, whether it's the quality of our roads or the quality of our schools or the quality of the building project that you want to do in the private sector.
David, you get the last word.
Yeah, I mean, I would just say, I mean, when we're looking at the data, you know, this is what we should do as policymakers. Make a decision based on data and then follow that decision through, look at the data that follows the decision and make sure that it's working and keep the decision in place if it's working, and if it's not, repeal it. And, you know, Corey said that, you know, we're not seeing the financial savings. This is $5 billion that everyone clearly sees. Tax rates are flat. School districts are succeeding with the tools that they have in place. And there's not a clamoring group of schools that are coming to the legislature saying, hey, reinstate collective bargaining for public employees. Because the superintendents and the school boards are seeing that it worked and that it's saved them huge amounts of money. And the second point relates to the quality of the products. What diminishing value of products has occurred in public sector projects because of Act 10? I haven't seen one. I honestly have not seen a diminished quality of product that is a result of Act 10. And so the upside is huge for Act 10, and the downside, I just don't see any. So, I mean, that's obviously we're going to have an ideological difference on this one, but on this one, the data is on our side.
He is Republican Representative David Craig of Wisconsin's 83rd Assembly District on the phone, and Representative Corey Mason of the 66th, the Democrat, with the great-looking beard and rocking the Badger's head is in the studio. Thanks for doing this, you guys. Really appreciate it, and thanks for serving our state.
My pleasure. Thanks, David.
All right, have a good one. Thanks.
Your radio friend is AM 1400 WRJN, Racine, Kenosha, Milwaukee. A Magnum.media station.
That was fun. WRJN covers the world at 10:01.
Unanimous ruling on voting rights. Fatal train crash. I'm Evan Haining. All 8 Supreme Court justices have voted to uphold a Texas law that counts everyone, not just voters,